Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on October 2nd, 2013. October 2nd, 2013. I have an uncle who would be 91 years old today if he was still alive, but he isn't. Still his birthday, though. Anyway, here's what I want to talk about. Josh Burson. Josh Burson published an article on LinkedIn last week called How I Hire. He's some kind of consultant with Deloitte. I don't know exactly what he does, but he's some kind of big shot. And he said he's hired lots of people, and he wanted to share what he's learned, what he's learned from his experience. And one thing he said stood out for me. He said, whenever he makes a good hire, it's with someone he likes right away. With someone he likes right away. Here's what he said exactly. Most of the fantastic people we've hired were people I started to trust and like very quickly. They felt right, and I could see passion, commitment, hard work, and intelligence in their eyes. That's a direct quote. Well, then I saw that my good friend Jennifer McClure. Jennifer McClure, the former Cincy recruiter, she posted a link to this article on Twitter, and she said it contained excellent recruiting tips. So I asked her, Jennifer, oy vey, you know what, I'm closing the guests. I did the guest a favor. I opened his mic, and so he's listening to me on the speakers and on the phone at the same time. Turn one of those things off, okay? Gee whiz.
Dude, that ruined the whole thing, man.
Yeah, it's a mistake,
seriously.
Jerry. He wanted to talk to me. What can
I do?
I
know. Skip the monologue. Let's just get right to this thing.
No!
Man.
I don't even know if he's got anything to talk about. At least the monologue is something. I asked Jennifer. I said, Jenny, do you tell your clients not to hire people unless they have an immediate rapport with them? And she said, no. Chemistry and likability are important. But there's no need for love at first sight. So I said, then Josh Burson is wrong about the need for immediate rapport. He's wrong about the need for immediate rapport in making good hiring decisions. And she said, Animal, I can speak about what works for me, but that doesn't necessarily make someone else's position wrong. So I said, but it does mean that anyone else's or any one person's best practices, they're very personal and not really suitable as advice for other people. If what's good for you doesn't apply to anyone else, then best practices can't easily be shared. And what do you think she said? Did she say, great observation, Animal? You are a true guru? No. She said, Animal, you're a person of black and white statements. I'm partial to shades of gray. Now, with 50 shades of gray in the news all the time, I don't know if she was talking about her sex life. I don't think so. So I said to her, no, I simply see myself as being interested in clarity. And what's wrong with that? Now, I'm going to tell you what's wrong because she didn't answer. Most people think it's brutal because it's hard to clarify your ideas. And also, if you're vague, it's hard for anyone to say you're wrong, right? But we don't like that here on this show, do we? On other shows, whatever the guest says, the host says, that's great. But not here. And, you know, that doesn't mean we're out to get you. We just want to help you get your ideas straight on Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal and Jerry Albright Show!
had a lot in you today.
Oh, my. Seven cups of coffee.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
before
right.
we get going.
Let's do this.
I got a feeling it's going to be a short show, because I asked the guest before we came on, do you
oh,
have
no.
stories? No. No stories. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to beg for stories. I'm telling you right now. No stories, no show. We'll just let you make your general statements, and, you know, you can get off, just like on every other show. Our show isn't special when there's no stories, okay? So I can't drag it out like I've been
trying
to.
Hey, can I say just one thing?
Go ahead.
This is just a private message to Reed Creamer.
Yeah.
Hey, Reed, we're getting ready to open a Denver office. So if you know anybody that might be interested in, you know, kind of stepping up, let me know.
Can't you save that? Can't you save that, Jerry, for your time on the after show, okay?
The way I see it, there's not going to be an after show,
you know what?
Dude.
I opened somebody else's mic, and sure enough, nothing but noise. Let me close it up. 609, that's you. I hope you feel ashamed. Okay?
609, you scumbag.
Knock
it off.
I'll say it. Okay, before we get going, I got an announcement. Next week, our good friend Mike A. Stringer is the guest. And he said, we're going to do it on a Google Hangout, and I agreed with him. I said, that's a great idea. We're doing it live, video, on Google Hangout. The only thing is, there's only room for 10 people on the air at one time. So if it's popular, we might have to have people come and go as they have something to say.
I don't want to make any assumptions. But
when there's you, me, and Mike, there's only room for 7 people more. And if 14 people call in, they're going to have to keep trading places as they come up with comments. So I'm just letting everybody know. And if you're really intent on getting there, it's sometimes hard to figure out how to get to a Hangout. I'm going to post the link, right? If you want me to send it to you, let me know during the week. Okay, let me ask you something, Jerry. On the after show today, is it going to be a tea party, or are you going to talk about recruiting? Because last week, it was tea party all the way.
I got to listen to the show, man. The show determines the after show.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it most certainly.
Okay.
Look, let me make one thing clear. You've never done an actual after show.
Hmm.
I have for years now. I know what I'm doing. I'm right now. I'm starting to think. I was going to do a short story on why guys from the 609 are scumbags.
Okay.
I was already researching
this. Might be a girl. Somebody we like. So just watch your step, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's bring on the guest who promised not to have any stories. Okay, Manny Medina, are you there, or was it you I cut off?
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Jeez, you sound like a live wire. Say it again. Morning, Jerry.
I'm only in my first cup of coffee at the moment.
Okay, where are you located? Oh, you're in San Francisco, right?
I am.
Okay, and you were drinking Manhattans last night when you sent me a message. Maybe you should be drinking those this morning because you're on this show. Okay, so
I was listening to your show with Tiffany Branch. That was excellent.
She's great. I never heard of her and I never heard of her before the show, but she had stories. She had something to say. I can't remember who the other one was with. Did you listen to that one?
I took notes. It was all out. It was great.
Great. She was good for the whole hour. Great old Tiffany. Okay, now I'm going to do you a favor since you're not fully awake. I'm going to introduce you. Today the guest is Manuel Medina. Manny Medina. He's the CEO of Group Talent. .com. I'll just
Group
go on and you can correct
com.
You can correct me when you I'm finished. Tell me what I said that was wrong. I invited him to be a guest today after I saw an article saying that he was going to make recruiting the same as using Expedia. Expedia is a site where you go and book your flight or your hotel. But to me, it seems that he wants to be the Ashley Madison of job hunting. And here's what I mean by that. Ashley Madison is a website that lets married people set up dates with each other so they can cheat on their spouses. Yeah! Now, I know the girl who married the owner of that company, which is very successful. At least I used to know her. I hope he's not cheating because she's a very beautiful girl, right? But anyway, that's what I think our good friend Manny is up to. And in fact, you can see if you're on the webpage for the show that they use a sexual reference in their branding, grouptalent.com, and then it says talent on top. Talent on top. The employer on the bottom, right?
I like
Isn't that.
That
what he's trying to say? Who's getting screwed there?
Yeah.
That's the question we're going to answer on this show. Okay, Manny, was that a good intro?
That was controversial for sure. I'm sure it got me awake.
Was it controversial?
The Ashley Madison reference.
I just want to explain.
No,
okay.
The Ashley Madison reference is a first. You know, we went down the path of eHarmony, OkCupid. How about we? But Ashley Madison is definitely new.
Well,
so,
Ashley Madison, here's what you set up. People go to your site, they find a job that they like or they seems good, and then they sign on to moonlight with that company while they're still working for their original employer, and you advertise that you'll hide that from the world. Is that right?
Well, we'll respect the privacy settings of each of our users.
I'm not talking to a robot. Don't give me that baloney.
At the end of the day, we have to be careful with what people. It's a very sensitive market. So if you talk to every recruiter, right, like the majority of recruiters are looking for that mythical passive candidate, and that's our target. That's our target audience. So it's people who want to leave, but it's hard for you to look. When you're old and you're a grown up, you have three major decisions in your life, right? Hmm. Who to marry, what job to take, what house to buy, and each of those are aided, and each of those require a period of you getting a sense of the landscape and the neighborhood and the woman, et cetera. So. The job market shouldn't be any different in that the best way for you to make a decision as to where are you going to spend the next 2 to 10 years of your life should be a fully well appraised decision along with just like any other. Mm-hmm. So you don't marry your wife after one interview or even a set of interviews. You go on dates.
Well, some people don't even meet their wife until they get married, but presumably that's not in North America.
You
okay,
could
go
just
ahead.
Order one from Russia.
Well, you get to see your picture then, Cher. Probably you could talk to her on Skype. But in some countries, no Skype. She doesn't come out of the burqa until you're on the wedding night or whatever it's called. Okay, so how long do the people moonlight with their prospective employer? Do they just do a project for them?
Yeah, they do a project. It usually takes anywhere between the shortest we have seen is a week, and the longest we have seen is 3 months.
And they're working at night and on the weekends? Is that it, at home?
Yeah, they usually take a few nights off and then a weekend day or a day during the week off for a couple of weeks. And,
okay,
and the project is usually relatively short, but it's an honest to goodness project that shows the.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll let you talk.
No, it's an honest to goodness project if a company has 11 features that they plan to release and they can only get to 10, the Moonlighter gets to work on feature 11. And they get to see how he interacts with the team gets to interact with him. They actually get to see each other in a true working environment. And there's no interview that can solve for that. You just mentioned when you were opening the show that there was this gentleman from Deloitte that hires on trust and makes decisions based on passion and commitment and hard work. There's no way to tell that on an interview. There's no way to tell that in a conversation. You need a few days for you to suss that out. So whether the gentleman was wrong or right, it is a matter of course.
Isn't this
Kathy
like
Corner.
Trialing? I'm trying to understand this. You try an employee out for a day or a week or 3 months, and then if you like them, you give them a perm offer?
Yeah.
That's trialing. I mean, you can't do that.
They get paid. They get paid, Kathy. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. Manny, these guys get paid doing that project, right?
Yeah. It's like you're hiring a contractor. It's no different.
That's true.
So,
and you're not, I guess if it's not a government-affiliated, job or company, then it wouldn't be trialing. That's where you'd have to.
Here you are with the government regulations again. Come on,
animal.
Yeah,
we love
we're not big enough to do the government yet, so we don't We haven't dealt
with it
yet.
Alan Fuhrer wants to ask a question. Alan Fuhrer, you're up.
Just really quick, isn't this a double W-2 problem?
World War II?
No, a W-2 employee. Isn't this a co-employment problem? Look, I got to jump. I'm sorry. You can ignore the question.
What's the problem with getting two W-2s, Alan?
Yeah, I don't get it.
You could be violating an existing employee agreement.
Well, that's probably left to the individual, but I'm sure Manny has solved that many times.
Hold on a second.
What do you say about that?
Yeah, I can't answer that question without you elaborating as to exactly how would that unfold. Like, if you can give me a real life example on how would that be a problem, then I can probably chime in.
He's got to go.
Again, those both questions were from California people. Mired in regulation.
Okay.
Here in Indiana, we just let her rip, and that's
okay. Yeah.
I like what you're doing. I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Okay, Manny. So how does it work exactly? They come to grouptalent.com, and it's candidate driven, not company driven. The company driven, that's bountyjobs.com. They put up. Actually, they're dealing with recruiters. Sorry, but
Bountyjobs deal with recruiters, but they drive demand for recruiters. So Mike Hart has done a great job in lining that up for recruiters and getting that.
Show. He's a past guest, and he was a good guest too. So yours is driven by the candidates. The candidates come. There's job postings on your site. They do a search for the title they're interested in, and maybe either the location, some other factors, and a bunch of jobs come up. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So let me take a step back. So we are like you said, we are candidate driven. So what we try to do is we try to accommodate all the, in this case, technical talent across the life cycle of employment. So if they want to, if they're looking for full-time work, we have that. If they're looking to contract for a bit, we have that. And if they're, if they're passively looking, meaning they would like to start trying out other companies as they figure out their next move, that we also have that. For better or worse, that's how we're being highlighted by the press is, the tryouts, because they're relatively new. And even though there's a new name for contract to hire, it is sort of, a really interesting way for people to find new work.
Okay.
So,
go ahead. No, you go ahead. Well,
what's that?
Well, no, if you want to answer the other question first, finish it, and then I want to know how you came up with this idea.
So the way you're telling this is that we made the introduction and then we just handle payments. Then the developer or the work provider usually sets himself up as a contractor and then we just facilitate the payment between the two parties and that's it. I mean we don't get into only for very special customers we'll set ourselves up as an agency and pass along contractors, with all the other pieces, teed up, meaning we'll get the contractor on a full-time basis, et cetera. But we do that only on a one-off basis. The majority of the time is people just trying out other companies.
Okay. Because your ad, your video, I posted it on FacebookRecruiter.com. You've got an IT manager or director, and she's complaining that she doesn't have enough people to do this job for her. So her buddy tells her about you guys. And she's not looking for a full-time employee. She wants to hire a team of programmers on contract, and she just hires them for a week. They do the job for her, and then it's finished. She doesn't have to hire. There's no consideration of long-term employment. So that's is that a major aspect of your job business as well?
No, that was a past. So that was one of our offerings. So that remains one of our offerings, but that's a video that we did in the past when that was sort of the main offering. We have expanded our platform. We started as a contracting, freelancing type platform, and then now we have expanded over to contract to hire.
Okay.
And now
Jerry, who's here on the line with us,
JerryTheRecruiter.com. That's me.
Yeah, JerryTheRecruiter.
Still hopped up on this coffee, man. I tell you,
Okay, you should be sharing that with the guest. Anyway, so he places programmers on contract. That's exactly what he does. Are you trying to wipe guys like him out?
Please don't.
No. No, actually, we try to work with people like him. Look, we're not going to pretend that we have the market sewn up and that we are the end all. What we try to do is we recruit as many developers as possible by giving them all these choices. And then we either, give them work through employees who sign up directly through our platform. And in many cases, we partner with recruiters. Both were doing contract and full-time, mostly because the recruiting process is it has a lot of intricacies, has a lot of moving parts, and driving a particular deal through a company requires, you know, a good quarterback. So for us, if a company is ready to work with us on a platform basis, you know, we welcome them and they sign up, et cetera. But if they're already working with a recruiter, we happily work with a recruiter as well, as long as they can drive the process to a close. So what we're interested in is bringing as many possibilities to our users as possible.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Did you understand that last part? My gut tells me this guy wants to replace people like you. He's not going to pretend that he's doing so now, but 5 years from now he wants to take a big chunk of your business away by having your guys, your stable of programmers, just go to his site and find a job like on Elancer. Am I right?
We all have dreams, Animal. Can't we all dream?
They're not going to get the job stability that Jerry's giving them. They're going to get maybe a week or two.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
but no, I didn't gather that he's trying to
replace
put us out
you.
Of business.
Yeah, I'm sure. He says we're looking for a job should be as easy as using Expedia. What does that mean? That nobody has to go through the travel agent and no one has to go through the recruiter, right?
And he
I think the better analogy here is the real estate market. So the MLS exists, right? And the MLS is used for you. You know, in a perfect world, you will think that you will be able to look at a house on the MLS in the description, and you should be able to make a decision based on a number of rooms, the neighborhood, and the tax liability you're assuming with it. But you still have, you know, $104 billion real estate brokerage business, and the reason is that, you know, brokers help and they help you get to things to a close. And I think the recruiting market is very similar. It's that, you know, everybody's making an important decision, and the people in the middle trying to facilitate those purchases are bringing real value. So we respect that, and we work with them. We actually have, if you look at our page where it says for recruiters, we actually work with a number of recruiters and driving, you know, value flow to them. Because if we have a developer who's looking for a particular thing and we don't have it, of course we're going to go out and find it, whoever has it, and pass
it
along.
Okay. So let's say a recruiter comes to you and say, I'm looking for this kind of person, and you've got a customer on your site who's that kind of programmer.
Yeah.
How much do you charge the recruiter for that candidate?
So we'll do an intro, and then we'll do the deal with the recruiter based on whether that person is contingent or retained.
How much?
It's retained, we charge a fixed fee. Right now, if it's retained, we charge $4K referral fee on placement, and if it's contingent, we charge a 20% referral fee if it's contingent.
Why the difference from contingent and retained? There's no difference at all in the search.
You know, it's a really good question. We haven't really bottomed out the model. We are gravitating towards making it out just at one price, but.
Uh-huh.
We haven't really. We were trying to do that, but no, it's true. But I mean, it is. You know, the recruiters
next
sort of tell us, "Oh, we want to make
question."
Sure.
I'm not
Hold
interested
on.
In that anymore.
No, not next question. Let's clarify his answer for the first question.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm really confused.
That's what I'm doing here, Kathy. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
The 20%, you're charging that to the recruiter that makes a placement based on his total fee?
No, it's a flat fee.
Let him answer the question!
Okay.
So it's either flat fee. So we actually make it a choice. You can either pick flat fee or we charge you 20% of your net recruiting fee.
Who are you charging this fee to? The recruiter? The staffing agency guy?
Yeah, the staffing agency, yes.
Okay, so either $4K if it's retained, which Animal's point was a good point, it shouldn't really matter, or 20% of what their fee is?
Yeah.
So if the fee is $20,000, your fee to that recruiter for placing a guy from Group Talent is $4,000.
Correct.
Wait, is he paying the recruiter, or is he – that's where I'm confused. What's
right, that's what, I, that's what he just explained, Kathy. He's
he
charging
paying.
The recruiter 20% of their fee, or
okay.
$4,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me do this once over and see if it sticks. If a recruiter has a position that is a good match for a user of our platform, we will intro. And if both parties decide to move forward, then if the recruiter places that party, we'll charge those fees that we just discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand.
So, and again, our goal in life is to make the market clear. It's to make every position available out there, whether it's provided by us or provided by a recruiter or provided by a company, et cetera, available to a developer that is a good match for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, listen, you worked at Microsoft for a long time. Am I right? Yes.
You're right.
If you were a manager at Microsoft, how would you have felt if you found out that one of your staff members was moonlighting at Apple? Come on!
Yeah, that's a really good question. My answer will be tainted by the fact that I power that kind of relationship, right? So take it with a grain of salt. I think that if that person is looking, there's bigger issues that you have to solve other than that guy looking for a job at Apple. So that guy is already, if he's looking, he's already, his resume is already ready. He already
maybe
has
he
talked
just
to
needs
other
more
companies.
Money, like a part-time
that,
job.
If he needs more money,
yeah,
then
maybe
he's going
to
quit anyway.
He can pick up a few more hours. It's not that he's unhappy at Microsoft.
Then what?
He answered already.
Then probably what happened is that he already talked to somebody about that particular problem, and he was declined.
Hey, Manny.
In which case, he's goner.
Manny.
Talk to me.
I am signing up as a recruiter, looking to hire developers on your site. It says sign up now to start reviewing candidates. I put my name on there. I put the city that I live in, my email address, and a password. I click the Get Started button. It refuses to recognize my city. Am I supposed to pick only one of the five cities that you guys recognize? There's a lot of other
cities.
Yeah,
what city are you in?
Avila, Indiana.
That's not a city.
It certainly is! Should I lie? You're encouraging me to lie. I'll have to pick some big city. How about Atlanta? Well, I don't live in Atlanta.
Well, let me. Can we take that offline? The short of it is we don't serve your city right now.
Thanks.
The longer of it, no, sorry, but the longer of it is that it's. Can we let's talk after the show? And I'm sure we can send you flow. We have
Jerry
people
lives
everywhere.
In flyover territory, okay, and that's the part of the country he services. And actually,
no, I'm gonna say I live in Chicago. Don't kick me off the lying.
That's good for news for you, Jerry, because he doesn't service your neighborhood. He's not going to steal any of your candidates.
I put in
okay?
Chicago, and it says doesn't recognize it.
Guys, there is 4 million developers in this good country of yours. I don't think that we're gonna have to fight over people for a very long time.
Yeah, let me in, Manny.
You know what?
I'm outside.
Manny,
I'm knocking on the window.
Yeah,
there's four million
developers, but there's only a few that everybody wants. That's why they can't find those people. Okay,
you know, that,
don't give
that,
me that.
That is a theory that everybody espouses, but it's interesting that if you look at the hiring market, people need across the board. So if you staff your company full of rock stars and type A's, you're gonna be like the Yankees, and you pay a lot, and the team wins a few, and sometimes you get clashes and so forth. You need everybody. You need the architect, and you need the guy who's gonna roll up his sleeve and code some CSS and hook it up to JavaScript and so forth and do a bunch of dirty work that big name bigger shot is not gonna do.
Okay, Jerry believes that he places mediocre people. So that's
B level players in B companies.
Yeah, and that's all. That's a perfect fit.
It's a huge market.
It's a perfect fit.
Of course
okay,
it is.
Now let me ask another question. I want the show to pick up a little. You don't use resumes, do you? Is that right?
Ourselves?
The website where the people register, they have a profile of some sort that's not a resume. Or do they use a traditional resume when they make a presentation to a company?
We have relied on profiles for the most part, and what we have realized is now that we're partnering with third party recruiters, and we're growing to more mature businesses, they totally ask for resumes. So we started asking for resumes.
Look, everybody, the truth. There's the truth. They wanted to go into the future and sidestep the traditional resume. But reality forced them to come into the real world. Thank you for being so honest, Manny. Now, you didn't answer my question. How did you come up with this idea?
We started with a developer. So we started with a developer and trying to figure out what is. Look, none of us has any experience in recruiting. So we came to learn really fast. And
yeah,
when we started with a developer,
where did you come up with the idea? Where did you come up with the idea? Were you recruiting people at Microsoft and said, you know what, I'll do this better? Or, I mean, how did it come to you?
My company is full of developers. So I'm one of the few non-developer person in my company. So we always have this dream of like, you know, what if we can provide developers exactly employment that they want? And we started with the hypothesis that developers wanted fluidity. And that's fine. And that's fine if you are 20-some, but if you know, a 20-some-year-old developer working on some hot thing. But as you get older and you find a girlfriend and you marry the girlfriend and you develop a family and so forth, stability becomes far more important than the fluidity of
what's
the work.
What's fluidity? A contract job?
Meaning,
is that what fluidity
yeah,
means?
Meaning either contract work, you work at a company for a year, and then you move on to the next company for another year, and then what you solve for is for the most interesting work as opposed to, you know, stability or team or any of the other things, or pay even, right? So you're looking for
for the
most interesting, you know, most challenging work.
Yeah.
Your brain is hungry for, you know, great challenges. And as people get older, and our own user base started growing away from the early adopters and the 20-some-year-old programmers into the 30-some-year-old programmers into the 40-year-old programmers, and those people, they have other things that were important in their mind, so they were open to contract, but they really wanted a stability. They wanted a real job in a more mature company in which that they could still do what they love, but they didn't have to worry about, you know, where the next job is going to come from. So as we were growing our user base, we realized that there was a need for, you know, not only freelance, but tryouts and full-time employment and so forth. And so we continued to grow our platform to accommodate it all, to the point that now we're realizing that we roll out our third-party recruiter solution as well, so that we can accommodate the jobs that we don't have.
Okay.
Hey, Animal, do you
okay.
think that you think this show is going to go the full 60?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go grab a snack then, okay?
Yeah, you come back, okay?
Okay, I'll be back in
Manny,
just a little bit then, all righty?
Okay, you made me forget what I was going to ask him.
Okay.
You made me forget.
For a second, then.
Just go away. No, just go away. Stop bothering me, okay?
I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay, Manny, how do you sign up new companies? How are you doing that? Do you have a sales rep who calls up the HR director and says, look at our new site, and you can hire people on, you know, temporary contract to see if you want to bring them on perm? How do you bring in companies?
The majority of the companies come to us. So they sign up. We have a person that sort of helps them get onboarded. And then if you're a company,
How do they find out about you? How do you get the word out?
Mostly press, word of mouth. There has been a lot of ado around our tryouts. And there's a lot of companies who firmly believe in tryouts. So the whole tryout or contract to hire is very dividing. Either people love it and they totally adhere to the philosophy, or they have been thinking about it for a while,
okay,
or they
I'm
do it already.
I'm just wondering how a new company like yours gets everybody to find out about them and gets the programmers to find out. Maybe they just find you on Google. I don't know.
You hustle, and then you hustle some more. So to get programmers,
what does that mean? Don't talk in abstract terms to me. I said, what does it mean? What do you do? Let's talk about actionable terms. What do you do to get people to sign up to your site? A, the employers, and B, the candidates, because you got to have both, or you're not in business.
Yeah. So let's start with the candidates. First of all, given that we are a company mostly started by programmers. My only three co-founders are programmers. We do a lot of work in the open source community. So we are contributors to a framework in JavaScript called Ember.js, and through those contributions, we get a lot of people to come in and take a look at our site, a lot of developers. And right now, front-end technologies happen to be very hot, and that drives a lot of people inquiring about not only the work that we have done in Ember, but the work that we do as a group talent as a whole. So that is one piece of marketing and things that we do.
That's a good answer.
Good.
Fine. Okay. Now, how many people does a company turn down? I mean, let's say 100 people go out on these contracts. How many of them are interested in going perm but the company doesn't want them. Do you have any numbers?
Can you rephrase the question? So are you asking for the number of developers who actually end up being hired?
I wonder how many of these, when they're just doing the contract work, but they want to go perm, I wonder of how many of those move into the perm, state. How many people actually get hired permanently? And if they don't get hired permanently, where are the problems? Are the employers rejecting the candidates, or are the candidates rejecting the employers? And, why are they rejected? What's the issues that come up for the rejection? I'm wondering about that.
So the latest figures that we have in the last month was about 80%. 80 meaning out of if 10 go to a company, 8 end up being hired.
Yeah.
And it was actually the people who don't work out are split evenly between developer rejecting and company rejecting. So if company rejects, right away. So if company rejects, within a week that the company.
And usually, why does the company reject? Because they didn't like the work or they didn't like the person?
It's always the person. It's inevitably 100% always the person when the company
You're
rejects.
You're kidding. Really?
I kid you not. Yep. It's always cultural fit.
Cultural fit. What does that mean exactly? The personality?
Yeah. We don't do a lot of deep dives into why the company rejected, but usually we get a one-liner saying, yeah, he wasn't a good fit.
Okay, okay.
They don't get ever asked why it didn't work out. And then in terms of the when it's a candidate, it also has to do with fit. Many times has to do with the kind of work they're going to be doing. And a candidate may be at a stage in their life in which they're looking for a particular thing. They think that they can grow into it with the company, but after a few weeks tryouts, that belief is dispelled, and then they move on.
Are there any companies that bring on contractor after contractor, and it never works out because the contractor just says they're an awful company?
That we haven't had that problem yet, but I'm sure we will.
It's interesting. That's an interesting thing. Anybody got a question for Manny? Any questions?
I'm back though, so that's the update there.
That was a quick snack. What'd you have?
Man, I got all the stuff out to make a turkey sandwich. I got the turkey, tomato, lettuce. Didn't have any bread.
Okay.
So I called my wife, yelled at her. I can't believe she let something like that happen.
Yeah.
And then I came back to the office with some crackers and some cheese sticks.
Okay, well, poor you. Okay.
Here's the update for you.
When do you think you're going to be a millionaire, Manny? Is my guest still there, Manny?
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm sorry. Was the question when?
When do you think you're going to be a millionaire? How long have you been in this business?
We're going to be clocking 2 years very soon.
2 years?
Why are
you
assuming he's not?
Well, are you a millionaire from the business yet? Are you a millionaire?
No, not yet.
When do you think you're going to?
We have quite a bit of work to do.
When do you think you're going to? Give me a target date. 5 years from now?
It's not. It's one of the things. That's not how I think about this. I think about more. When are we going to make the employment market more fluid? When are we going to make the? And I know you don't like abstract, but let me have another try at it. Like our goal is to really help everybody find their right job, either through us or through a third party. And that is a longer quest. And that doesn't really involve money. When you get into entrepreneurship, most of the people don't do it for the money. They do it because of the problems they're solving.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. I did it for the money.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe
that. Animal, am I unmuted?
Yeah, you're not muted.
I was the 609 that you called a scumbag.
Jerry called you a scumbag. I didn't call
you
a scumbag.
I did not say that, dude.
Okay. You know, this goes against my very business philosophy. He's not a millionaire, but he's calling himself a CEO. My personal philosophy is I will never call myself a CEO until I'm a millionaire.
You're not a millionaire yet, Mike?
I am not.
You
hey, Mike.
Walked into that.
Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a CEO.
But Jerry, you also live in a place where you can buy a house for $150. So I mean, it doesn't count.
Isn't that even? That's icing on the cake, then, isn't it?
Hey, Okay, listen. Our friend Manny
Jerry,
went to
did you
Harvard
see my tweet?
Business.
Yeah, I see what? It all, Mike. I see it all.
Yeah.
Manny. I am Borat.
Manny, my guest. You went to Harvard Business. Oh, you're not on a landline like I told you to be, are you? At first it was okay, but now it's breaking up. What kind of phone are you on?
I think it's an IP phone, but I can't hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Well, it's getting bad. It's starting to break up for the last 5 minutes. People are going to be complaining on Twitter, and they're going to blame me because supposedly I don't inform my people to use a landline like they're supposed to. Okay? It was okay at first.
I always
first,
thought this
but...
was just part of your show.
That's not written in. I just can't get these guys to use the right kind of line. They don't understand it. He went to Harvard, this guy. He went to Harvard. That's what I'm going to talk about. And he still can't use the phone I asked for. You went to Harvard Business School. What did you get out of that? We know you get too many people here who've been to Harvard.
You had Mike Hart from Bounty Jobs. He went to Harvard, too.
Who?
Mike Hart from Bounty Jobs.
Mike Hart. Oh, okay. I didn't know about that. But you know what? We're having a hard time hearing about Mike Hart because you're on that crappy phone.
Is Bounty Jobs still in business?
Yeah.
They are.
Wow.
You want me to dial back in?
Pardon me?
You want me to dial
you know
back
what
in?
I think?
Yeah,
caffeine
call in on another phone so we can hear
caffeine.
You. Is anybody else having the same problems as me?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I can't hear him.
Yeah, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. That's why I want to know, does caffeine make you a better recruiter?
And animals, caffeine, let me just say I've been to Harvard. There's a great coffee shop right across the street.
Okay, Manny, if you want to continue the show, you might want to call in on another phone so we can hear you, you know? But I'll leave that up to you. And he went to Harvard. And also, I want to ask for some specific stories about people who've used the business and, you know where they had come from. I don't think he's got too many of those. But
speaking of California, there's a fabulous K-Cup called Foglifter.
Okay,
oh, boy.
Who's got all that noise in the background?
Now somebody opened the window of their biplane. This is
I think that's Mike.
Oh, my God, I'll mute again. I happened to come outside for a cigarette. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, really, Mike? Come on. What kind
of cigarette?
Dude, nobody smokes anymore, man. Nobody smokes anymore.
Smoke. God. I saw it on the news today.
Area code 206 is on the line. Is that the guest?
That is I.
Great. Oh, you couldn't have done it right
sounds
off the
like
bat.
A
wow.
Person.
We
awesome.
Had to beg you. Had to
wow.
beg you.
Wow. The big
okay.
reveal.
So you went
so
to
does
Hart-
it cost they
you want
to upload their information and profile?
Pardon me?
Is the candidate charged to update their or to upload their profile on
so
his
there's
website?
No there's no cost to the candidate. Is there, Manny?
No.
Uh-oh.
Roger. Over and out.
Manny, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so there's no cost to the candidate. What about Harvard Business School? What did you get out of going there? Is it special? I mean, you went to the University of Pennsylvania for your undergrad. Am I right about that?
No, I got a master's in computer science out of Penn.
Okay,
but you didn't go to
Harvard for your undergrad. You went there for your graduate degree. Is there a difference between Harvard and other schools?
I don't know. I didn't go to other schools for my business, but Harvard had a. I mean, Harvard is a special place in terms of the type of people that you meet and the doors that opens and the challenge, you know, the challenging problems that you get to solve and the people that and the kind of things that you get to see. So I mean, the most
started out as a janitor doing math problems on the whiteboard.
Yeah, just like the movie, exactly. Like
yeah. Okay, so you want to be a little concrete? You want to try to translate into that? What did you did like? Did that affect your career going to Harvard?
Oh, massively. Right. Like I got my job at Microsoft was because of a person that I met at HBS that told me about it.
This is fabulous.
They just call it HBS now.
Yeah.
You picked that up, right, Animal?
Don't mind them.
They're just jealous.
Manny, they're just jealous, okay?
Yeah, Manny. Okay, next question. Has this platform been rolled out for other other than IT people and developers? Have you tried nursing, banking? That was my question.
We haven't yet, but we're taking inquiries right now for accountants and admin staffing and customer service staffing. So,
you know what? Nursing would actually be really good. My wife is a nurse, and I know a lot of nurses, and they're always looking to pick up extra shifts and extra, you know, extra work here and there.
Mm-hmm.
They can pick up all your cigarette butts out front.
Or they can pick me up when I can't pick myself up from smoking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else got some questions? People on the line. I think I'm done. Is there anything we haven't covered that's important, Manny, that you want to tell us?
I think that you pretty much hit it on all aspects.
You know, I'm a little surprised that Jerry Albright hasn't been a little bit more feisty. I don't think he's had enough caffeine, because when I had a
only seven cups, man.
One-on-one discussion with Jerry, and the precision that's involved in identifying just the right person to work in an IT capacity.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking granular precision.
Rocket science. Rocket science. You betcha.
So what we're talking about is the sort of the eBay of IT people or programmers. Just try one on for size, kind of like DSW of IT programmers, right?
It's kind of like the temp to perm stuff. There's a lot of the temp to perm. This is temp to perm, but hurry up. You got 3 days.
What do you mean by that?
What's that?
Hey. Yeah.
Isn't that the deal?
Hey.
You got 3 days,
hey,
4 days.
Yeah.
This is Todd Porter. Can I ask a couple questions?
Go ahead, Todd.
Todd Porter.
Yeah. I'm just curious how quickly from the time, like, the company sees whatever information on the individual, how long does it take to close the deal, and are you involved in that? Because, I mean, as a recruiter, big value of us is kind of mentoring both together to make sure it comes together. Do these things just happen, like throwing something
at
the wall?
I am so glad you asked that, because in our so we're at the platform. What we do two things, you know, very quickly and very well. One is that we are constantly onboarding and interviewing developers to bring them in. So back to your question, Animal, about you know, using the resume. We are using the resume now, but when you are introduced to somebody in our platform, you get the resume and all their intent, meaning what is the salary ranges that they're looking for, what are the technologies that you're looking to work with, and what are the criteria for them to land the next job. So you come in with your eyes wide open as to whether this person is going to be a good fit for your recs or not. So right away you know whether this is going to work out. So in terms of how close...
So if I have a candidate, I put him into your system, and which filters does he go through?
No, Todd, you're wrong. You're a recruiter. You're looking for candidates from them. You're not supplying them with candidates.
Okay, so if there's a person in their system, how do I grab that person? You've already filtered them. I get a chance to filter them?
Yes. So you actually do them better. You get an introduction. So the person would – so for you to be active in our system, you need to tell us what are you looking for. So once we know what you're looking for, we make a few matches, and then we pitch your idea to the candidate. If the candidate accepts, then we make an introduction. It's almost exactly like dating. And once
how do you do that? Pitch.
Okay,
what
so let
mean?
Me
how
ask you another quick question.
How does that pitch happen, though? You just email it to them or you call them?
No, so the platform takes care of it. And then once the person accepts to take a look at your job, then you get an intro email and you take it from there. And then up to how quickly can you close that, it's up to you. Well,
all the transactions are automated. No one has to introduce them personally. The system just sends the information back and forth, right?
Exactly. But the one thing that we do at scale is interviewing. So we have a battery of people interviewing candidates that come in to get all that information that is not available online. Yeah, so we interview hundreds of candidates.
And you didn't tell us that, and you didn't think it was important. It changes everything. Todd,
I know.
Congratulations for pulling that out. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, let me
ahead.
Ask you another thing. What I don't get is you got companies that want these people for a week or two or for a small project. Is that my customer's company, or you have companies like that?
No, so those are companies who sign up on their own. Chances
okay.
are, look, we're...
Wait, say that again, please.
Okay, what's that? Yeah, but let me ask. You have companies that sign up on their own. The candidates
yep.
that go to those projects, where do they come from? Just you or also from me?
You mean the candidates or the company?
The candidates sign up on their own. Let me just make it clear. It's very simple. Maybe you weren't here at the beginning, Todd. He's got a site. Companies that, you know, need to hire people register there with their job orders. And there's job hunters also come to the site. The job hunter does a search for what he's looking for or what she's looking for, and the system, you know, brings the search results that match the jobs that match his query. And then the system takes care of it. Now they've expanded it, so recruiters, in addition to end-user companies, in addition to hiring companies, recruiters can also use the service. They put in the data, I guess, of what they're looking for, their job description, and it can come up with some of the piece, just like LinkedIn in many ways.
Yeah, this sounds like what Monster tried to do by automating everything and putting people together. They didn't have that trial stuff, but okay. Thank you.
So there is one significant difference between us and the ATSs of the world. It's that we interview people, and when we send you a candidate, that person has been fully vetted, and you know what they're looking for. So
you said you didn't.
In our mind, we're automated to the intro point, meaning that we're automated in making all the introductions to you, but we're not automated when we interview the candidate. The candidate sits through an interview with somebody in our company.
So every candidate in your system has been interviewed by a live
yep.
person?
Exactly.
How many candidates are in there?
Over 5,000.
Okay.
So we don't do them for any particular role. What we do is interview them to figure out what it is that they want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that when we match them, we know against who are we matching. So in our mind, the ATSs are like phone books, right? So when you go to Monster or to any of those places to look for people, you have no idea what the response rate will be on that. So all you're doing is sending cold emails out to people that you have no idea whether they're going to respond or not. So we're taking the opposite view of it, and we tell you this candidate is available right now. You have about 2 weeks to place him. Otherwise, he'll be gone.
Well, then,
right? And this is the criteria.
So the people, though, I mean, to get 5,000 people in there, though, Manny, that's taking you quite a while, right?
Yeah. But we do have...
So they've been in there for a couple of years then now, some of them.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, not everybody's active, right? So only a handful of hundreds are active at any particular point in time.
And how do they? How is that determined? I mean, do they go in there and they hit a button or something?
Well, that's exactly what we manage the life cycle. So we look for, you know, when they start with a company or when they try it out with a company, and then if they decide to move forward, then we mark them off the system. And
okay,
if they haven't decided to move forward, go ahead.
So there's only really 100 or so of them that are right now searchable and
there
available?
There are 100 or so that are in play in any particular point, in any particular week. So if you come to the platform right now, you'll get served, you know, say 20 that are relevant to you. And then those 20, chances are only half of them will be available the next week, and a new 20 will come in. You see
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So the market
in
is...
in one of your cities.
Exactly.
South Bend or Boston or something.
Exactly.
So, Manny, you can't access... So you've got thousands of people there, and you're not letting the job hunt, the companies or the recruiters, you're not letting them access the passive candidates who might be interested if they hear about that job, right?
No. What we ask the recruiter is to tell us what the positions are, and then we pitch it to candidates, and then the candidates decide whether this is something they want to pursue or not.
Yeah,
and most 90% of the candidates in our platform are passive. The majority of them are passive.
But you just said only a few, 100 are active at any one time. But in fact, if you have a database of 5,000, then the company that's looking to hire somebody has access to all 5,000 to find out if any of them are interested. Is that right or wrong?
That is right. That is correct. They have access
okay.
to all of them.
Okay. Now, I got to say something. I misunderstood how this worked entirely. And it's coming up thanks to Todd Porter. Thank you to Todd. A whole aspect, a whole new dimension of this business is coming out in the last few minutes of the show. I didn't understand anything. So you can blame me or we can blame you. Because I asked you,
yeah.
is there anything that we should know that we didn't know? And there was this whole thing about interviewing.
And I think that reflects on my poor marketing. We're going to go in.
But why? So it is different. It makes it very different. I thought it was just an automated transactional service. Why did you decide to go with the live interviews?
Because that, if you were to look at, and this is to the article that made you contact me, if you look at the biggest pain in recruiting, it's sourcing quality candidates. And sourcing is not only identifying them, but just, you know, that's a very small part of sourcing. The majority of sourcing is actually reaching out to them and trying to figure out whether, you know, their intent, meaning are they willing to look, are they looking, and B, their relevancy, meaning are you a good fit for my job. And both things are enormously difficult. So what we were interviewing anyway because we wanted to make sure that we capture all the information about the candidate that is not self-declared. So for us, a quick conversation of 5 to 10 minutes tells us the world about a candidate that you wouldn't know if you haven't filled out a form. So that, even though it represents real cost to us, we have managed to do it at scale, meaning we have many people that we use our own proprietary platform to guide people through interviews so that we get the majority of information that we need from a candidate to make sure that the matches are as significant as possible.
Okay,
so we don't feel computers are going to solve this problem. There have to be people involved. So that's why we even believe in the recruiting business as well.
Okay, last question, though. So these interviewers, are they people who understand programming, or do you educate them to just ask a checklist of questions?
It's a bit of both. So the majority of interviewers are actually great copywriters. So the way it works is that the outreach email that goes to the candidate is usually written by a copywriter that has been served, you know, information about the candidate, and that person has the discretion to figure out exactly what to tell the candidate. And then because that email is so tailored, the life cycle of outreach to interview to onboarding is handled by the same person. So it's a person that understands and knows the candidate already and by the time that person comes in. So we actually look for more people who have, you know, great operating skills and great ability to relate to a person more than technical ability. We're not judging technical ability. It's up to you. That's your job. And that's
okay, but they have to ascertain if the person has the basic skills that the company's looking for. So do you just give them a checklist that they have to mark off? A, B, C, D,
yeah,
you have this stuff?
Yeah, but it's all self-declared. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we will do a light layer of vetting, but vetting for both technical ability and culture is what recruiters do for a living. We're not removing that. All we're doing is capturing all the information available from the candidate and letting you make an informed decision.
Okay.
So we tell
anybody
you, you know, how many years
before we go? Anybody got a question before we go?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Earlier, he said that when an employer rejects a candidate, they don't probe, they just accept it. To me, that's asking for trouble. If you don't have a sense of why a good candidate in your mind was rejected, you can spend a lot of time going in the wrong direction.
That might be true, but he said it's only a very small percentage of the people, so I guess it doesn't cause a huge problem. Manny, do you want to address that?
Yeah, and so A, it's a very small number of people, and B, well, now you know, right? It could have been a lot worse, meaning you could have hired that person, brought him into your company for a couple of months, and then you realize you made a huge mistake, in which case you have to fire him. Cost of firing is, you know, 1.5
yeah,
times
the cost
of hiring.
I think this guy's saying, I don't know who's on the line, I don't know who it is. Do I know you?
It's Tino.
Oh, Tino. Oh, Valentino. Okay. So
hey.
you're saying that before these copywriters who send job descriptions and interact with the candidates, before they do that, they should know, you know, what's wrong with that company or what they're really looking for, because obviously something might not have been communicated correctly. Is that what you're saying, Valentino?
No, but let me clarify, perhaps. So when we reach out to a candidate, our pitch to the candidate is that we are a platform for all type of hiring. So we want to know what it is that you want to do. If you're not in the market and you only want to do projects, that's fine, sign up. If you are thinking of being in the market, that's fine, sign up. You know, we'll be ready when you are.
He said you go out to a job, you're on your contract, it doesn't work out. He said if that company didn't like your guy, you should know why they rejected the candidate before you send them somebody else. Essentially, that's what you're saying, right? Right, Valentino?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The employer off the hook.
So like I said, the majority, my earlier point, and I'm sorry if I didn't make this clear, my earlier point is the majority of the time is because of culture. So there's nothing wrong technically with the candidate. There is just there wasn't a vibe there. So the company usually requests another one just like the one we sent before to see if that one is a better culture.
Okay, and
he said, and
I asked that question earlier, Valentino, I said, do you have any companies where they keep rejecting people and, you know, there's a problem with the company rather than the candidate? He said that hasn't come up. Everybody, you can stay on for Jerry's after show, except for the guest and myself. We have to leave. You know, Manny, it turns out...
Wait, hold on. Give me a second.
Okay.
I was just starting to, I guess, doze off a little bit. What time is it? 1?
It's 1:01.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me splash some water on my face.
So we're going to the after show. Manny, I enjoyed having you. I'm just surprised that so much came out at the end of the show. That often happens, I think. Nice to meet you.
All right, I'm ready.
Talent.com.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Nothing. There's not even anybody here. Animal, you promised me 10 people per after show.
Was that your contract?
Yeah, it most certainly was. I'm not in charge of filling the seats here, you know what I mean?
The problem is that Animal hasn't had a guest good enough to stay through an entire show in a year.
David Perry, though, that was pretty good. Last week?
Next week.
No, last week was David Perry. It was good.
I wasn't here last week.
Oh. Maybe that's why it was real good.
Could be. Would you like me to leave?
Get out of here. No, man. Mike, why are you smoking cigarettes?
Since I was 14, Jerry.
Come on, dude.
I know.
Man, everybody smoked when they were kids. I mean, we thought it was cool. But now we realize it causes cancer and a horrible death.
Whoa. What did you say it causes?
Okay, what do we think about this guy? First of all, who has been to his site since the show started? I have. Have you guys?
No.
I have not.
Yeah, you can't even sign up as a recruiter. So sign up to see the resumes. You can't even sign up unless you somehow guess one of the cities that their system accepts. I would think San Francisco, maybe.
He's not going to show you the resumes anyway.
Yeah, but I wanted to sign up just to see what it was, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if he takes the sign off of his door and changes it to a third-party recruiting agency, he could become a millionaire.
Why?
Well, he's sitting there.
You mean CEO?
He's doing no. I'm talking. Well, whatever. I'm saying that.
That was joke
the,
from Mike.
The
there. You must not have heard that name.
Front end snappiness of all the website and everything is all boiled down and reduced down to a personal one-on-one phone call to find out what the candidate wants. Isn't that amazing?
Imagine that.
If he truly has 5,000. kind of horses in his database. You're right.
I like that.
You know, if a customer comes in and says, I need to hire somebody, you know, he can place a guy. But all this black magic smoke and mirrors isn't going to match people because it doesn't go through the process.
Man, I tell you what, that gives me kind of an idea. What about running ads like all across your you know, your marketplace. For me, that would be Fort Wayne, South Bend. But advertising for part-time IT positions, moonlighting, because everybody wants to make a couple extra bucks. So then you get all those resumes that way instead of going for just, hey, who wants a new job today? Because you rarely get many replies there. But if it was a stay where you are, send me a resume, I'll get you, you know, a couple hours a week for Christmas money. I like that. Note to self.
That sounds like
run
a finish for
Amway. To get...
Are you getting involved in multi-level marketing now, Jerry?
I like that. What did you say?
There you go.
Mike?
MLM.
So are you getting involved
really
in multi-level marketing
that,
now?
Yep, I am.
That Animal is so excited because so much more of the guy's business, you know, it got exposed in the last 10 minutes. I had my obnoxious laughter muted, of course, as a, being a nice guy. But when the guy finally admitted that at the end of the day, they have to make a phone call, and it just made me laugh. I mean, I think someone else brought up the whole, you know, snazzy smoke and mirror stuff. I contend this platform has been attempted.
Jerry, you know, you want to know what I think?
Yeah, I do, man.
So I've not often agreed with Animal, but I agree with what he said, and I'm going to take it a step further. Animal said that, you know, this guy looks like he's setting up a platform to replace recruiters. I think right now he's here because he wants our opinion on what he's doing. But I guarantee in 5 years when this platform is mature, this guy's going to be marketing it as the replacement for recruiters.
Yeah, man, they've been trying to replace us
that.
Forever. Yeah.
You can contend that, but he still has to have someone there. You know, flesh and bone that knows what they're talking about in the industry to understand and comprehend what it is the candidate has to offer.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't say he'd be successful. I said that's what he's going to try and do. And you know,
he's not
going to
last 5 years.
If you think back, Monster was going to replace recruiters, and then LinkedIn was going to replace recruiters, and now this guy's going to replace us.
I've been trying to replace myself for about a decade. So... I can't do it. So I doubt anybody.
I've been trying to replace myself for as long as I've been in business, and I can't find a me.
Yep. So let's give this guy a score then. Mike A. Stringer. And I'm sorry about your son, by the way.
Thank you. I am. I'm going to give Borat a 50.
Uh-huh. That's kind of racist.
What's that?
That's kind of racist. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm overly sensitive to that.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought you might have a couple of him living in your barn, considering where you live.
No. There's a big Latin American explosion here around Indiana.
Is there? Has there been an explosion of teeth? Because when I was in South Bend, it seemed like that's what was lacking.
No, man. Yeah, no, we've got teeth here, man. Yeah, you're thinking of the UK. We're in the US. I mean, we have dental care. Yeah, it's kind of a drive to get there, but you can.
Thanks to Obama.
It's a one day's horse ride to get to the dentist, but I mean, if you want to, you can get there.
A one day horse ride.
Yep.
Have you been to Indiana, Kathy?
I've never been to Indiana. No.
You're missing out.
But,
you
know, I have a feeling I am. My husband's from Nebraska, and he went to school in Kansas.
Nebraska and Kansas, God, that's horrendous. That is miles of nothing. Flat. Yeah. Indiana's cool. I mean, there's woods, there's hills, there's rivers, there's lakes. We have more lakes within probably 20 miles of me, I think probably than any spot in the U.S.,
It sounds like Colorado.
Oh, it's awesome.
Indiana's okay.
Yeah. So, Mike, what score did you have for Animal then?
I never ate corn again after I drove through Indiana.
This kind of corn is in everything that you do, man.
You have to have seaweed corn.
I am going to give Animal a 45 because I'm just sick of one bad guest after another. I mean, I find myself at noon on Wednesdays going, am I going to call into Animal Show for another bad guest?
Okay.
Or make money for this hour? And if you notice, I've been calling in less and less, and every time I call in, it's just a bad guest.
What made this guy bad? You've heard this stuff before. You think he's out to replace recruiters? He's trying something, man. He's an entrepreneur.
Listen,
what's the deal?
He gets an A for effort in being an entrepreneur and landing his company, and you know, he even had the standard line of every founder says in public, "I didn't do it for the money." But you know what? I guess I must be the only founder in the world that says I did it for the effing money. But he couldn't explain what he did, and what he's doing is not that impressive. Mm-hmm. So he gets an A for being an entrepreneur, he gets a D- for the way he can explain it, and he gets a D or a D- for what he's actually doing.
Mm, okay.
And I've been volunteering for the last 2 years to be Animal's booker, free of charge. I won't charge. I'll just make sure he has good guests, and he's never taken me up on it. So we'll just continue to have a bad show and three people calling into every show, and eventually there won't be a show.
Mm.
It'll go by the way of technicalrecruiter.com, we all met.
Man.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That kind of bummed me out there a little bit. Makes me want to grab a pack of smokes, man.
Man.
I was on the phone with Kimberly for over an hour yesterday. What's that?
I said, we're all going to die. May as well have a smoke.
I was on the phone with Kimberly Usher for over an hour yesterday. We were talking about the good old days.
Really? She's pretty cool.
Yeah,
she's
like
battling Karen Matinen over Facebook.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Never met a tax she didn't like.
That is true.
Crazy. Kathy, what do you think about the show?
I couldn't understand, half of it.
He was a bit fast, I thought, in the beginning, but he slowed down.
He just didn't impress me as a Harvard grad. I just didn't get that at all. I don't know.
Are you being racist like me?
No.
Are you suggesting that somehow he got his degree through there because of diversity and inclusion?
No.
Okay. I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand.
He didn't use, like,
I wonder what box he checked on his application to Harvard.
I did not like him. He seemed a little sleazy to me. I don't know.
That's the word I didn't expect to come out.
So I'd have to say 50 for him and 70 for Animal.
Goodness.
Oh.
Goodness. All right, who's the next person with the score?
I've got a score.
Is this Todd Porter?
It's Tino.
Oh, hey, Tino, you're real quiet, man. How you been?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Good. Glad to hear from you.
Hey, Tino, has anyone told you that I think of a red stapler when you speak?
You think of what?
I think of a red stapler.
A red stapler?
You know, Office Space.
No, that's racist.
You don't get it?
No, I don't get it.
Have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
Oh, yeah.
You know the quiet guy with the stapler?
Yes.
Yeah, we're having a hard time hearing you is why.
Well, I'm purposely doing
I haven't gotten my paycheck.
Right. Turn the place down.
What do you think of the show, Tino?
I like the show. I mean, this guy was purposely vague. I wouldn't say sleazy, but he was slippery and he couldn't defend not probing the employer for rejection other than it rarely happens. To me, if it rarely happens, he must be placing thousands of people and making billions of dollars.
Right.
So he couldn't defend it, and I think a lot of it is BS. But I think he's probing the recruiting website to get a sense of, you know, is he on the right track? I think it's a bit...
Well, see, I've been through their site, and, you know, so I – normally I'll start off any of these places just as a job seeker just to see what all the options are. There are only 44 companies, and it looks like they've been there since the start of time, all mostly like these startup-type companies. You know, Urban Compass, howaboutwe.com, Zazzle, Zeal, Flagship Ventures, EP, Weebly. So places I've never really seen that most likely don't really want to make a commitment to a team. Who's doing that? 609?
I'm on a city street, Jerry. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
All right. But, yeah, so I'm looking through all of these, you know, customers, job orders, companies, whatever you want to call it. And most of them are from months ago. So it's not like it's a vibrant, you know, thousands of places. So he's just getting started, you know.
But he's a CEO, so that's good.
Well, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that means.
I give him a 50, and I give Animal a 75 because he did catch finally the gist of where this guy was, you know, was being so vague enough that he finally talked himself into what he was actually trying to do. And Animal caught that.
Nice. Yep, I'm with you there. Animal was far better than the guest.
By the way, Jerry, I do have to compliment Indianapolis. I'm impressed with the employers out there. I got kind of clients, and they send a limo to pick me up.
Nice. I think A Stringer is sticking his head out the window of a taxi cab like a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Indiana's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But so you come out here every once in a while, do you?
Well, every now and then I'll get a contract. I had one with Dow AgriScience, very impressive company in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's a good place. I mean, a lot of people call it flyover country, and that's fine with me, dude. It's not all jammed up, and you can really just enjoy yourself. Shoot a gun out the window if you want.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, nice.
To attract me out there, very friendly people, very like Missouri, very.
Yep.
You know, Jerry, it took me an hour and a half to get to my office this morning in traffic. I would not give that up for the world.
Really? Yes, you would.
That's all it took you, A Stringer?
Yeah, I moved, and it was, you know, my new house was 30 miles from my office, and I do 90 in the car, so I'm like, all right, it'll take me 25, 30 minutes. It took me an hour and a half this morning.
Hey, dude, come to L.A. Welcome.
Yeah,
dude. I'm meeting a guy at 5 o'clock today.
At Applebee's?
Congratulations.
You know, you go to Applebee's so many times, it's like you burn out on it, you know? So we might hit the lobster.
Get a room.
But no, I think where I'm meeting him is like 18 miles from here. I'll leave 15 minutes before I want to be there, and I will be there probably 5 minutes early. Yep. Alan, what do you think of this guy?
Jerry, I can only give a partial because I had to jump off. But the I looked at the site. We've seen this before. What really kind of makes me laugh about this guy is his background. I mean, basically, he was on some show called Tech Stars or something, and it was a bunch of startups. I agree with the Harvard. He comes across slippery. And the thing that this guy doesn't get is that I think this guy is all about the he's in and around the Bay Area. He's all into the VC, hey, babe, love you, let's get an IPO thing. And I think recruiting is a hot market, so I'm going to find something that fits. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's been at Microsoft, I mean, was Amy on this call?
Nope.
I would have loved it with his background at Microsoft as a business development person. I would love to have heard her take on it because I think she'd have some good insights. But This is one more of another thing as our industry grows and recovers, they're trying to figure out what's the magic bullet, and the magic bullet happens when all of us are doing stuff and someone discovers it, not these companies necessarily that, oh, I'm going to do this because I can solve this for all the recruiting industry, and we're looking at it going, didn't you see this 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alan, if I can jump on what you just said. I work a lot in the startup space, and I would say that at least every other day, I interview a software engineer who has their own startup on their resume for 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever it is. And, you know, you always ask the question, obviously. Talked to a guy just yesterday, had a six-month startup on his resume. So obviously he asked the question, you know, why did you give that up and go back into the work world? Well, I realized that, in this case, I realized that I couldn't compete with the big guys, or I realized that my idea wasn't viable or whatever it is. And I think that this guest is going to pretty quickly be on the job market saying my idea wasn't viable.
Oh, yeah. Who are you talking to, Alan? What's going on?
I'm training another recruiter.
What do they think that you're doing right now?
They know exactly what I'm doing right now. I've already told them all about this.
Hey, where are you working, man? What are you doing now?
I've let them. Pardon me?
Where are you working? What's going on?
I got a gig that I couldn't turn down. I got offered a captive job for a huge amount and a great deal. I'm a director of national recruiting for a commercial real estate brokerage that does over $22 billion in transactions. And the cool thing about it, Jerry, is, and I know the group, look, I'm going to toot these guys for a second, because in all the years I've been in the business, this is one of the companies where the HR people are one of the 1% to 2% that you would walk through fire for. They've let us do what we need to do. They've let me spend over seven figures on a LinkedIn deal. And the cool thing about this is, as this company grew up, is that every single manager, director, national person, that's not a – their bonus is predicated to a large part on them hitting recruiting goals. I've never seen this before. An operations manager, a sales manager, their bonus is predicated on it. So it's a good team. It's a bunch of hunter killers. We've hired, we've expanded the recruiting team from
one
to six. Marcus and Millichap.
Marcus and Millichap?
No.
Millichap. Dude, my brother used to work there in Chicago. Marcus and Millichap.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. In, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And
really?
We just
Marcus
announced
Millichap. Yeah, yeah. What was he doing for them?
And we just announced an IPO last week.
Oh.
And
where's
so,
your headquarters?
But A-Stringer, pardon me?
Where's your headquarters?
Calabasas. And I really hate that, because everybody I talk to who knows Calabasas that has a good sense of humor goes, oh, Alan, that's too bad. The only thing you guys are known for is Beaver and the Kardashians. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
No, they have good outlets out there, too.
Oh, yeah, there's great shopping for anybody that wants to. But yeah,
cool.
It's fun for right now, and I'm still allowed to do other stuff that doesn't compete on the side. So I've got two technical.
Who's that, A-Stringer? Dude, come on, A-Stringer. At least put your thumb over the mic hole if you don't want to mute it. Come on, brother. You know what I mean?
I thought you might want to hear city sounds, considering you're out in the country.
I want to hear moves.
Dude, I'm going down to the city tonight, Fort Wayne, man.
Hear
it doesn't get any more real than that.
Oh, come on. I want to hear some cows and
the fort.
Some cows.
Dude, you want to hear a shotgun?
Yeah.
I let a few pumpkins go too long in the garden, so I'm going to blast them off the fence here in a little bit.
Oh.
Listen, Jerry, I can, within a half a block in any direction, I can put you on the phone with a member of the Bloods gang, a crack dealer, or a prostitute. Which would you prefer?
Jeez, man.
Oh, this
no,
is what
yeah, no
was
thanks.
Talking
I'll
about
pass,
yesterday.
I'll pass on that. Hey, Alan, lay your scores on me, man. I got to go. My wife's mom
I got a mirror, A-Stringers. I didn't hear a lot about Animal, but he was trying to dig in, and the guy, I wasn't impressed in the little I heard. And what I saw on the site, I'd love to talk to the venture capitalists and say, guys, save your money.
But isn't he actually advertising, or was that just Animal's summary? World's largest employer marketplace or something?
Yeah.
Was that Animal advertising that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, but so you give him a 50?
Yeah.
And Animal a 45 because he picked
oh,
a
no,
bad
no, I'm
guest
sorry. Switch. No, no, no. The guest was worse than Animal, in my opinion, today. Switch those. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, 45 and 50. Awesome. Anybody else calling in that would like to let us know what they thought of this show,
yeah,
which
this
seems
is,
like it's terrible?
Yeah, this is Todd. I'll give him, the guest a 60. I'll give him credit for trying to build a new mousetrap, but he doesn't have a clue what the business is about. And
that's what I mean.
Give a, Animal, I'll give a 70 because I think he was trying and he just couldn't get him there.
Awesome. Hey, Todd, what people do you recruit again?
I recruit for companies that'll pay me.
Oh, are you the guy with the Israeli startup companies or something?
Not startup, but I recruit almost exclusively for Israeli companies.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Well, thanks for calling in again. We appreciate it, man. It's always nice to get some new blood in this crowd of deadbeats, you know?
Hey, we're proud deadbeats there, Jerry.
Proud deadbeats. All right, well, I got to call my wife back. She just called me. I guess her mom is going to the emergency room, so we'll...
Oh.
Fun stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck with it.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you all later. Have a good week.
Thanks,
bye.
Everyone.